Blog Talk Radio. Boom, boom, boom.
You know, when we say that we're going through, we know that we are experiencing some type of either psychological breakdown, meltdown, or we're going through some situation that is hard, super difficult to get through, and we don't really have a plan about how we're going to get through it. And you know how it is when something negative happens to you, something bad happens to you, and you don't have a plan of attack, of defending yourself or even getting through it. These are the times when you call on the Lord. You know how black people only call on the Lord when all else fails. I ain't saying that, you know, all right. There are people who always give thanks and praise to God. Don't get me wrong. There are people who always put God into the equation and put God first. Don't get me wrong, but the majority of people, especially our people, we get to leaning on the Lord when all else has failed. You know, like those situations where you haven't really done the right thing. You know how it is when you haven't really done the right thing. And so when you try to fix a problem that you have gotten yourself into, sometimes you might be leaning on the Lord for forgiveness. So when the thing that you use to defend yourself, to get ahead, to do what was necessary in order for you to be in the winner's circle, when that don't work, now you got to lean on the Lord to try to help you to get through this thing, because this is a bad situation. So what we're talking about today, we're talking about when you are going through that your own little personal hell. And that can be a variety of situations in which you're wondering how you got here. You know, it could be after you go through a bad breakup with somebody, a divorce, a death of a loved one, some type of situation that makes you reevaluate your whole life, your whole existence, your whole personal being. And it is very, very personal. Like nobody else can do this with you or for you. Basically, we're talking about the way that you feel about something. And, you know, we all feel differently about some things that happen in this world to us, around us, with us. And when life hits you on your blind side, creeps up from behind, grabs you and hugs you from the back, but it ain't that good hug from the back. Somebody trying to choke you or stab you in the back, you know, when you going through it by yourself, it can make you feel crazy. Let me give you a little disclaimer, though. I got something for all of y'all people out here who have gone crazy in your life. If you think you're going crazy, if you feel like you're slipping into darkness, you're in a good spot. Because real crazy people think that they are nothing but normal. This is nothing but normal. Nothing but normal. Real crazy people, real mentally ill people think that they are fine. Real people who are fine think that they're going crazy. Because when you're fine, when you are in a good mental space, when you are in a good psychological condition, you look for consistent ways to feel comfortable. Even if you're not 100% comfortable, you're looking for ways that you can easily adapt to. You want to, you know, if you know your If you know the way to go from A to B, even if we're just talking about getting from home to school, from school to the store, from the store back home, when you know the route to take, you know the route to take, so you make it easy for yourself. Go up, go three blocks up, make a right, go four blocks up to the light, make a left, go four blocks down to the stop sign, make a left at the stop sign, veer to the right, because it's a little fork in the road, like a Y, and when you come around the Y, across the street from the Dunkin' Donuts is the school. You know the route. Sure, there are other ways that you could take to get there, but you already know the way to go, and that's the bottom line, and that's the most important part. When you know the way to go, when you are in a good psychological space, you know the way to go. When you get detours, when you are unsure about any other ways to get from A to B, now you're stressed out because you're lost in an area where you shouldn't even be lost. And it seems like everybody else knows the way to get to where they want to go to, or even where you want to go to, except for you. And that can make you feel isolated. It can make you feel stupid. It can make you feel crazy. And it definitely is going to make you feel all alone, stressed out, and unhappy. So today we're going to talk about those times and those places when you have been in those unhappy spaces and you feel like you're all alone. Your own personal hell of why nobody can come there. I'm going to tell you why nobody can come there straight out the gate. The reason why nobody else can come there is because you have your own mind. You're your own person. You have your own experiences and you. Your monthly premium, whatever it is that you agreed to pay every month, it's going to stay that way for the life of the loan. So if you were paying $350 at the beginning of the loan, you're going to end the loan paying $350. You can pay more along the way to bring down the principal and pay the loan off early. But the bottom line is they can't change the monthly premium that you pay every month. When you choose a variable rate, that means that if your credit score goes down or if the market takes a hit, there are a bunch of other ways that they can change what your APR is, your finance rate, and it can result in you paying more than what you were paying before. So maybe the first year of a loan, you were paying $350. Now all of a sudden they raise the rate and you got to be paying $390. You got to be paying $400. Some old crazy stuff like that. And you're like, well, you know what I mean? How is it that I have to pay more money? You have to pay more money because you chose a variable rate and you have no control over a variable rate. All right. Now, let's say you lose your job. You lost your job and you have this larger payment that you have to pay every month. Now, you got no income coming in. All you have is your savings left. And you have this long-term loan that you took out, say, in the case of a mortgage, you may have signed up for 15 years or you may have signed up for the full 30 years. And you wondering how the hell you're going to pay this loan. How are you going to make your premium? You thinking like, oh my God, they're going to take my house away. I'm going to get foreclosed on. I ain't never been late or bad with bills in my whole life. And here's the thing. You may not know anybody else that knows how to get you out of this thing, or so you don't know if you know anybody, because you trying to make it through this thing by yourself. You trying to make it through this situation by yourself. So your first line of defense is to try to go get another job. You need to find another job. Now, maybe you worked in one of those jobs where it pays a lot, so it ain't easy to just go out and find another job in this industry that you work in. Yeah, you don't work in the health field, or you don't work in IT or something like that. This may have been a situation where you worked hard to get up to the salary that you were making. So a lot of employers are not going to pay you out the gate what you were making before. They want you to work your way up, take more of an entry-level position. You're like, man, I got bills. I got bills, and they're piling up. I have a lifestyle that I've developed into over these years. So, you know, and you don't want to go to your friends and already, you know what I mean? Just last month, you was doing well and maintaining it. And you always may have been the type that worked and had your own money, were independent, were doing your own thing and being progressive and elevating all the time. Very, very productive. You know, it might not be easy for you to let everybody know that you ain't doing well or that you need help and all of that shit. And this is the kind of thing that makes your own little personal hell start to come into your life. Because you feel like, man, everybody gonna look down on me. You know what I mean? I'm looking like I'm broke. I'm looking like I can't handle things. I'm looking like I'm failing. I'm looking like this ain't it. And it is. It's mostly your ego. But so what? Your ego, you know, may have gotten you to where you are as far as being successful in your life. Now your ego is telling you that you got to make it through this thing on your own. Maybe you grew up in a family with the dad who told you, man, you can't be out here complaining, bitching, pissing, and moaning. Go ahead, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You know what I mean? You got two good working hands and feet, then you got a way to make some money. And sure, physically that's true. But when your head is messed up, there's no limitations to what you can't do. I hope you understand what I just said. When your head is messed up, there are no limitations to what you can't do. Yeah, what you can't do. Totally handicapped. So, that's what we're talking about this afternoon, y'all. What's good? Who know what I'm talking about? Wow. Stacey White says, life got hands. Woo-wee. That's a good statement right there. Life got hands. And yes, it does. She says, I've been crying for 2 days. Ooh. Ooh. Try to keep your head up. Try to keep your head up. Trust me. There are ways for you to dig yourself up. Well, climb up out of any hole that you feel like you have been dumped into. Stay patient, stay prayed up, but utilize your resources more than anything else. There are people out there who will help you and who can help you, and never lose sight of that. Sometimes we can get so down on ourselves, we get to believing that nobody even wants to help us. We can get so down on ourselves, we get to believing that nobody even wants to help us. Don't do that. Surely, sure, the world's most precious and greatest pearl in the world. Surely, sure, the world's most precious and greatest pearl in the world. What's going on, my good to see you. So we're talking about your own personal hell and why nobody can come there. They can't because you haven't fixed the place up. You haven't invited anybody there. You haven't welcomed any company. You can't have no company in your personal hell. And hopefully, when you are down in your personal hell, hopefully, you're not feeling like nobody would care if you were here in this world or not. Because sometimes that's how it can feel. And you don't want to, you know, Nobody wants to feel like they throwing pity parties. I shouldn't say nobody because I know that I know people who throw pity parties all the time. Be sending out invites and tagging people and all of that kind of shit. What I mean by nobody wants to be throwing pity parties is most people don't want other people to feel as bad as they are feeling. If anything, I would rather you feel bad and I feel better. If we're really selfish. If we're really selfish. But I'm talking about you good people out there. When you really stressed out, going through a type of depression, maybe still being in mourning. You don't want nobody else to experience that shit. And most of us really just want to be strong. We want to feel strong to the point where we can get through whatever we're going through ourselves. We want to be strong. We want to be big and strong. Stacey White says, I'm tired of giants and bullying. Funning with me? Giants? What giants? I think I understand what you mean. But let's get psychological here. Giants are bigger than other people. So let's not give people who seek to make us feel bad, let's not portray them as being bigger than us. Let's not do that. Let's not give them that type of credit or respect. Let's not give them none of that. Nah, they ain't giants. They something, but they ain't giants. We want to safeguard against being prisoners in our own minds. And one thing about being in a depressive state, being in a stressful situation, being in a mourning situation where you can't seem to run this race and compete the way that you would really like to. One thing about that is that there are too many times when we try to fix this thing by ourselves. And we ain't got to do it. We ain't got to do it. Trust is an issue because one of the reasons that we stay in our own personal hell for so long is because we think that people won't understand what's going on with us and they'll try to make us look bad. So let's not give them any information, no fuel. And unfortunately, sometimes we do that with people who are even close to us. What up, Vita B? Thanks for coming on through. Good to see you and all the people in KC Mode too. Make sure y'all hit that like button, y'all. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. Yeah, your own personal hell or why nobody can come there. People can't come to your own personal hell because you just got there yourself. You just moved in. But the thing about when you move into your own personal hell, it seems like you've been there for so many years once you move into that place. You'd be wondering, how the hell did I choose this place to move into in the first place? But nothing else may have seemed like it was available at the time and you needed a place to live. Yeah. If you thought that you needed a place to live, and maybe you did, but you ain't want to live in this one. You ain't want to go there. No, no, no. I want y'all to know that no matter what you're going through, you're going to be okay. But you may not have been told that you're going to be okay. But you will be okay. You will. Chemical imbalances, hormonal imbalances, all of these things that go on within us and or inside of us can have us all fucked up. If you've lost somebody this year, somebody that was close to you this year, there's a good chance that even though you may have that you may understand death and you know it's a sure thing of life and there's nothing that we can't do, nothing we can do in order to stop ourselves from experiencing death, it doesn't always make it easy. And this is one of those areas where even understanding may not make something better. Normally, in situations where we get some understanding of something, then we can learn how to deal with it, and it can ease our experience in dealing with it. But death is one of those things. When you lose somebody, especially when you lose somebody that you really tried to hold on to, you know, I think we all have a little bit of Superman in us. And when we know that our Superman act ain't working, we lean on the Lord. So if anybody has lost somebody close to them this year, and not only did you lose them, it's really hard when you have prayed to God, like, you know, God, can you just do me this solid, this one little solid? I just need you to, if it's your will that they won't make it, that they won't be here anymore, could you at least prepare me? It's like when your job knew that they was going to fire you, but they let you come all the way to work. Why y'all ain't just call me at the crib and save me a trip? So you may have prayed to God to ask. You know, you may have prayed to God and asked him, at least let me know that it's going to come. Don't let me get sideswiped. Even if a person is sick, maybe they've been terminally ill for a while, you may have asked God to at least prepare me for when they actually close their eyes for the last time. And he may not have done that for you. Or maybe he did it in a way that you still didn't relate to or understand or agree with. Or those situations where you straight up ask God to spare the life of a loved one that was passing away. And now, even though you may not be mad at God per se, because you know how some of us are scared to be mad at God. Like, nah, I don't want to be acting like I'm mad at God. I don't want to be pouting with God. I ain't trying to get struck by lightning. I ain't trying to, you know, get in a bad car accident. I ain't trying to, you know, roll my ankle. And if you've lost someone close to you this year or in recent years, after praying and asking and begging God to spare that person. Like, I just need you to let this one hold on. And God may have not only took that person out, but they let them suffer on their way out. It's like, now everybody is going to process that thing differently and personally. Everybody's going to process it differently. Whereas some people, all right, they have a relationship and understanding with death and the afterlife, and so they know that they have to lose somebody that they love. Although you may have a full understanding that everything and everybody dies, And although you know that they are in a better place, and although you know that you have to move on and be thankful for the time and the memories that you had with that person, it does not mean that your hormones, your glands, and your whole psychological inner structure won't be like, this whole shit is fucked up. And no, I'm not okay with this. I'm not okay, period. But I understand all of us who are reeling from that. And just know you're not by yourself, and you are by yourself at the same time. Everybody out here has experienced death. Not just you. That doesn't make it any easier for you. Everybody has had to recover from a mourning situation. Not just you. But that doesn't make it any easier than you. So I just want you to know that it's okay. Those times when you went to the bathroom and you shed a few tears, had to get your shit together. Those times when you may have seen a car that they used to drive and it fucked with you. Those times when you seen an animal that they used to like and it fucked with you. Those times when you watched a TV show that you used to share with them, a movie that you all used to talk about, or something that they didn't like that you did like, that y'all used to go back and forth about. It's okay. It's okay to not be okay. But it's not okay to not be okay forever. So your own personal hell is something that I want you to be able to deal with. What up, Duck Northwest Media? Thanks for coming through. Appreciate me some. You. It's not okay to not be okay forever. V to B says, you're right, Omar. I am never told it is going to be okay. From 2001 to 2022, I attended 8 funerals. After a while, you become numb. You ain't never done lied, boy. You said from 2001 to 2022, I've been to more funerals than that. I done lost so many people. I'm in double digits from 2001 easily. I'm definitely in double digits. And I hate to say this, but the value system, the value on each death ain't the same. I mean, I still go through it with losing my dad 2 years ago. And the reason I can talk about this is because I really thought, I mean, he was sick. He was sick. He was dying. But I know damn well, every night, I prayed to God to spare my dad's life. Like, God, come on, Allah, don't let him go. You know what I mean? Yo, let us do something. Let me do something. Bring something. You know, like, it, at the very least, give him some comfort. He had to go. July 11th, 2021, he had to go. And, you know, I reconciled with it. Like, okay, I came to grips with it. But let everybody and anybody close to me tell it, like, nah, you ain't been the same, dog. I'm like, what y'all talking about? I'm cool. And I really thought I was until I realized that I wasn't. And I still think I am. And some people say, no, you ain't been the same since. Man, I don't know what they talking about. But, it's okay. Look, you mourn as long as you need to mourn. You miss a person as long as you need to miss them. You honor them as long as you need to honor them. You know what I mean? What I don't want y'all to do in your own personal hell is I don't want you to start decorating that motherfucker, getting comfortable in it, and starting to, you know, decide that you want to live in it for good. Do not let your personal hell become your your permanent residence. No, no, no. That's if we don't get nothing out of this show today, your personal hell is not okay to be your permanent address. No. Nope. Man, and you know when I talk about this kind of shit, you talking about your personal hell. The more I talk about this shit, the more the less I believe in fire and brimstone and burning for all eternity. Get the fuck out of here. Ain't being sad enough. Ain't being hurt enough. Ain't being down in the dumps enough. You need to be fucking physically burning. You ain't got no body when you die anyway. Your soul lift up. How you gonna burn a soul? In order for you to feel pain, you have to have a body. You have to have nerves. Nerves are how we feel pain. Without that, you don't feel no pain. Now, if there's a way to be in the universe where you can experience pain without a body, well, we have to find that out. We don't know that. But for our earthly understanding, we only have pain. We only experience pain because we have nerves and cells. So stop letting these damn preachers and priests and all that shit tell you that hell is when you're going to burn for all eternity. How the fuck they know? We all sin. We all have sin. We all have sins that we need to atone for. So, KB says, I needed to hear this today. I needed to say this today. Because, damn, KB says double digits for me too. Is bananas. I like bananas. Did you know you're not supposed to eat bananas on an empty stomach? It can really fuck with you. And I experienced that before. To the point where I stopped eating bananas for years. I didn't think I could eat them anymore. But you're not supposed to eat bananas on an empty stomach. And when I think back on it, those years when I couldn't eat bananas, I had eaten. It made me violently ill. I was throwing up and all of this kind of shit. And I was on an empty stomach. I didn't know a banana was a bad empty stomach fruit. It is. It is. And so all you Virgos out there, make sure y'all don't eat no bananas on empty stomachs. You know, I got to talk to y'all Virgos out there because it's y'all time. And, you know, y'all always having stomach problems. Y'all, you know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, yeah, my stomach hurt as Virgos. Now tell me I'm lying. Show me a Virgo that don't be having stomach problems all the time. They'd be like, oh. Damn. Vita says my stomach always hurts. I swear to God, it's consistent as hell. I ain't never known a Virgo that don't be like, they stress go right to the tummy, boy. Straight to the tummy. You know how some people fake a stomach ache so they don't have to do nothing? Or Virgo ain't faking. That shit is real shit. Alright. Vita says, if my dad passed, I honestly won't mourn the same. I hate to admit that. Am I wrong for saying that? Well, you're not wrong for feeling how you feel. It's unfortunately that anything could make you feel that way. Whether it was something that he did or did not do that made you feel that way. But it's a sad thing that his value in your life is not high up there to whereas you feel like you would be able to handle that. And unfortunately, black people and the father experience is not where it needs to be. And maybe yours isn't either. But I hope, sincerely hope, that that changes at some point. You're welcome, Stacey. Let me see. B2B says, random. There are people that walk around with no soul, and there are spirits that look for souls. Wow. That's deep. That's deep, deep. I don't know. That's deep. Cheryl says, what about strawberries? No, you can eat strawberries. I think it's the potassium in the bananas that fuck with the acid in your stomach. So on an empty stomach, hold on. We can find out for sure. Wait, hold on. Why is it bad to eat bananas on an empty stomach?
According to DNA India, digestion problem. Bananas are rich in potassium, fiber, and magnesium, but at the same time, the fruit is acidic, and experts suggest that consuming acidic foods.
Not what I asked you. Okay, here it says, why shouldn't you eat bananas first thing in the morning? Okay. However, they are also relatively high in carbs and natural sugars. While this can help provide a quick burst of energy to get your morning off to the right start, it can increase blood sugar levels and cause a mid-morning crash with those type 2 diabetes. Okay, here's a question. Why do bananas make my stomach hurt on an empty stomach? For people with stomach pain, they should not eat bananas on an empty stomach, especially pepper bananas, because the high pectin content in bananas will cause the acid level in the stomach lining to increase. That's it. That's what I was looking for. It says, bananas contain a lot of fiber, vitamin C, B vitamins, antioxidants, and various minerals, potassium, magnesium, phosphorus. Therefore, bananas offer many important health benefits. Regularly eating bananas will help reduce the risk of cardiovascular, mental, and digestive diseases. However, when to eat bananas? Is it good to eat bananas when hungry? We ain't gonna do all that. Anyway, don't be eating bananas on an empty stomach or you be dry heaving and hurt. I was sick as a dog. I didn't know you couldn't eat bananas on an empty stomach, but that's exactly what I did. And even when I got sick, I didn't realize that eating bananas on an empty stomach was what caused the whole thing. So for about 3, 4, 5 years, I didn't eat no bananas. Like, No. Stacy said the only Virgo I like is my grandma. You got one lone Virgo? I don't know. I like Virgo. I think at the time I probably didn't used to. But nah, they good. K-Ran says, I eat a banana on an empty stomach, but it's always a ripe banana, not the yellow one. Well, maybe your stomach can take it. Cheryl says, when my dad passed away, they called me when I was on the train. I honestly don't know how I made it home. I was a wreck. You're welcome, Vita. And you know what? You never know what might change. You never know. Life is a bitch. You never know. And she says, I personally lose appetite quick. Hell no. I'm not faking. I am not faking. Especially getting older. I am sensitive to smells and looks. I learned about Chinese food some years ago and never again. Virgo, most likely to eat all of the food if they like it, and most likely to not eat none of the food if they don't like it. Not one morsel. None. Nope. Ain't eating that. No. All right. Vita also says, I hate the thought of my daughter and I having the same birthday now. When I pass, she will not be the same. Ooh. That's my mom and my sister, too. But, yeah. So, the reason I wanted to bring up that whole mourning thing is because mourning is one of those things that's very personal. And that there's no accounting for. I can't tell you how to mourn. I can't tell you how much or how little to mourn. I can't do it. All I can do is try to be there for you, try to comfort you, try to, you know, be a resource for you. That's all I can do. That's all I can do. I can't feel how you feel. I can't reach the depth of emotion that you experience. I can't do it. I'm not unsympathetic to it, and I'm not insensitive to it, but I can't do what you are doing, and I can't go through what you're going through. It's personal. So this is the reason why your personal hell doesn't have any invitees. This is why you can't have a guest list in your personal hell, because it's personal. It's yours. It's all yours. It doesn't mean you can't get help, but it does mean that the help that you get is your help. It's not their help. It's not anybody else's help. But I want the best for y'all. Real shit. I want the best for y'all. Because when you're going through your own personal hell and you don't feel like you can talk to anybody, you don't feel like anybody understands, you feel like the sadness that you may be going through, the uncertainty that you might be going through, the fear that you might be experiencing. Like, don't nobody want to hear that shit. And that's what you be thinking. Don't nobody want to hear that shit. Don't nobody even understand that shit. Here I am going crazy. Ain't nobody trying to go crazy with me. And that can make you feel even more and more worse. Matter of fact, that can make you feel worser. It can make you feel worse than you ever felt before. Stacey says, for the last 7 years, I've been having death back to back to back to back. Ooh. All at golden. My cousin was the one that was not supposed to go. Vita says, my brother was real insensitive to our mother passing. He told me she did things to cause her own pain and death was a part of life. I thought to myself, how dare you? Let me try to, I don't want to take up for your brother, but let me try to help you with that. Some people deal with death that way. Sometimes a death can cause you anger. Like, For example, you got cirrhosis of the liver because you kept drinking. So you kind of caused your own condition. You got lung cancer because you wouldn't stop smoking. You kind of caused your own condition. Even when people told you, even when the doctors told you, you got to stop smoking so you can get better, you didn't stop smoking. And it can make you mad at the person because it seems like you're trying to hold on to their life or cling to their life more than they are. They seem to be okay with just letting themselves fade away. And you know that they're better than that. And so you like, come on, man. Come on, what are you doing? All you got to do is turn this screw. All you got to do is tighten up this thing here. All you got to do is pull this lever here. And they won't do it. So it can make you frustrated and mad. And that's kind of the way you might have dealt with the situation and your acceptance of the situation. So you know how it is when somebody has accepted a situation that you haven't accepted yet. And I'm not saying that that's what happened with you and your brother Vita, but it could be. He may be feeling as bad as you are, but he was trying to get to a place where he was accepting of it. Well, like, well, if it's all right with you, then it's all right with me. It's a form it's a coping mechanism born out of frustration. Like, all right, well, fuck it then. You don't want no better for yourself, then I don't want no better for you either. Knowing damn deep inside, it's like, come on. And honestly, I went through that with my dad too. Like, what you mean you're not gonna fight for your life? What you talking about? You know what I mean? What did he say? He said something like, I had a good run. Fuck you mean you had a good run? You still got a good run. You gonna stop running? I'm not trying to take his side, but I understand. I understand from that point of view. You know, being mad at the person for not helping themselves, not letting you help them, not letting you save them, not saving themselves, not utilizing their resources, not taking their medicine, not going to their appointments, not doing what they could have done to give them a chance to still be here. It can be demoralizing. But I totally understand your point of view, too. You know how it is when you really love somebody, you really care about somebody, you don't want to hear nobody say nothing bad about them. Like, oh, watch your fucking mouth. Watch your mouth when you get punched in yours. Uh-uh. I don't give a fuck what they did before. I don't care what they did in 1993, 87, of 2014. I don't care about none of that shit. That's my motherfucking dog. That's my motherfucking girl. That's my motherfucking wife. That's my motherfucking husband. That's my motherfucking brother. That's my motherfucking sister. That's my motherfucking cousin. That's my motherfucking boy. We not doing that. That's my motherfucking people there. And ain't nobody going to say nothing bad about them in front of me at all. So just get ready to either guard your grill or cover your ears, because you're not going to like what I do or what I say. And that's okay. It's all right. BDB says, they say death comes in threes. I hate that, but it's kind of true. Man, I don't know if it comes in threes. I know it comes one by one, goddamn. It comes one by motherfucking one. Shoot, I wish it came in threes. That way, once we count to three, we good. Nobody else die. You know what? as you said, that Vita, sometime in the near future, we going to do a show that says death comes in ones. How about that? Because we got to deal with each one individually. Now tell me we don't. Each one we got to deal with. It's a different price for each one, a different feeling for each one. Man. She says, I just don't want nobody picking with me because they don't know what I've been through, and I'm not giving my blessings up. And you shouldn't. Vita says, yeah, I see your point. Just seems so cold. My mom was a smoker and quit, but the damage was done. My brother was just like that. Yeah. That's smoking, man. Let me speak on that for a hot second. So you smoke and you got heart disease or lung cancer or something like that. But a lot of people who smoke don't get that shit. Where's the fucking consistency? Where's the balance? Where's the fairness? This person smoke all their lives and they don't get no lung cancer. And this person smoke and die at 39 or 40, 45. Like, but what? At the end of the day, we all got to go. We all got to go. We don't pick the, we barely get to choose the day we come into this world. But we sure as hell don't choose the day that we go out. I don't even think we choose the day that we go out even in a suicide. No, I don't think people who commit suicide have decided that today was the day. Their emotions have decided that today was the day. Their inability to deal with this world in the way that would make them comfortable determine the day. For some, it's today. For some, it was yesterday. For some, it's going to be tomorrow, one of these tomorrows. B says, there's a difference between living a long life and living a full life. Mm-hmm. She says, I just feel that she was cheated out of that full life. She so deserved, and I expected him or my dad to feel the same way, but since they don't, F them. Ooh. Okay. Well, you know what? It's okay for you to feel exactly how you feel until you don't feel that way anymore. And I hope and pray that you won't feel that way. Stacey says, I think I was mad at God and I didn't know it. Should we all get mad at him? He's supposed to control everything. I mean, he can't do you this one little solid. You praying and shit, giving charity and shit, helping people out, honoring thy mother and father, making sure you ain't coveting thy neighbor and all that old shit. You can't just do you this one little solid. I need 5 years extra with my mans in them. That's all I need, five. Give me a nickel. Give me a nickel. I'll be ready in five. Gabriel says, 38 for my father, lung cancer. Ugh. Lung cancer. God damn. that much smoking in the world. Bad luck of the draw, man. Well, when it's your time, it's your time. And when it ain't your time, it ain't your time. You can jump off the Empire State Building from the top of that bitch. The point. If it ain't your time to go, it ain't your time to go. B2B says, she smoked GPCs. I always mess with her. Said it stood for a generic pack of cigarettes. I get they all bad, but by 2001, at 55, she was working with 30% of her lungs. Lived with oxygen. Yeah. And you know how painful that is, not being able to breathe. Man, what's worse than that? I don't even like to witness somebody laboring to breathe. I hate it. Because I know what it's like not to be able to breathe. You know, I've had the flu. You know, and, you know, my lungs have had to recover from the flu. So, you know, you talking in short breath. Vita says, my dad told me arrogantly one day, I gave you life. Without me, you wouldn't exist. Honor thy father and mother. I just looked at him as if you say so. Carol says, I'm listening and cleaning this death talk is something I needed to hear going through my own thing. I can dig it. B2B says, after every meal, she had to take breathing treatment. Ugh. And you know how, like, when somebody is going through a really bad pulmonary, you know, a pulmonary disease, a breathing problems, if they got cancer, you know how you be imagining the cancer just eating up their lungs. Like, look, there ain't no air. But, oh, my God. You know, like, that shit is termites. It's just, man, we about to do these birthday shout-outs, man. I ain't going to. I think y'all get what I was talking about with this whole personal health thing. I don't want to be there. I don't want y'all to be there. We got to fight to get on up out of that thing. We got to fight to get up out of that thing. We have some birthday shout outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious. August 26th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special because they are special because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box, Gabriella Gabby. Turning 37 years old today, and Stephanie Pert turning 48 years old today, and Osvi Valme, happy birthday to you, turning 29 years old today, and Carmen Milagros Polanco Penici turning 44 years old today, and Renee Lois Wigfall, happy birthday to you, and Kama, hold up, Teguifuet turning 39 years old today, and my man Ismael Newman turning 40 years old today, and go getter Angel David, happy birthday to you, and Lulu, Ima, Ayachiaya, Ayana, Red Feather, happy birthday to you, and last but not least, Miguel, Erica, Jamaican Hall, Denny, turning 48 years old today, turning 48 years old today, happy birthday to you, Mom. I want to say happy birthday to all of y'all, and I hope that today finds you all in good health, happiness, mind, body, soul, and spirit, and that goes out to each and every person out there born on this glorious August 26th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally. All of y'all go ahead and turn up, turn up. We're going to turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. A lockout, lock on into the dance, a lockout, lock on into the damn lockout, lock on into the damn thing. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man, your personal hell is not okay to be in. However, should I say I said it wrong? It's okay to be there. It's not okay to stay there. Don't start accepting your fate as being there. And nobody can be there with you because it's not the place to be. It's like being in a homeless shelter. Yeah, you here for right now, but the main goal is to get you real housing with your own bed, with your own bathroom, with your own kitchen, with your own doors and your own keys. So just like you wouldn't want to be in a homeless shelter, but being in a homeless shelter is better than being homeless, even though being in a homeless shelter means that you are homeless, at least you ain't houseless. Or maybe you are. The goal of being in a homeless shelter is to build yourself up to whereas you can have good, sufficient, adequate housing. So when you are in your own personal hell, the goal of being in your own personal hell is so you can climb up out of that thing and start reaching for something much more heavenly, something much better suited for you than this emotionally impoverished state. This emotionally impoverished state. Just like in a homeless shelter, you can't have company. Can't nobody come visit you in this shelter. It ain't built for that. Well, ain't nobody should be invited to your own personal hell either. No invitees. No, you can't have company. Can't nobody come over to your personal hell. You ain't got no business being there either. You trespassing. But don't get comfortable. Because you're not going to get people to stop checking. You know how like some people's answer to getting away with something is to get the person who monitors it to stop looking. That ain't no easy thing to do. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. Love y'all right back to life. We will be back tomorrow afternoon for another Urban Therapy with Sun show. I want to thank y'all so much for coming through. Please hit the like button. Please share the show. Please subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. So what we're going to do, Blog Talk, we're going to get you out of here. Yeah, 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 yeah.